Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Justin Reed, President and CEO of Troilus Gold, traded on the TSX under the ticker TLG and traded on the OTCQX on the ticker CHXMF. It's great to have you on the show, Justin, to talk about Troilus. This is our first time really discussing it to our audience. And so let's start off more high level with how did the company start? How did you get the assets in the company? And what was the original vision for kicking things off with Troilus Gold?
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking the time to meet with me today. Troilus is a pretty new company. We came to market in 2018. We purchased privately the past producing Troilus Gold mine. It produced 2 million ounces of gold and about 70,000 tons of copper over 14 years. It was operated by a global base metal company called Inmet. And really, it was the company's way of looking to get exposure to a gold multiple, despite being a base metal producer. The deposit was discovered and defined fairly quickly, put into production, and then was shut down quite abruptly. And it was really a factor of a few things. Obviously, commodity prices were low. This mine went into production in a $250 gold environment, but Inmet had found and was developing Cobre Panama, which is now the sixth largest copper mine in the world. As well, they were building La Cruces copper mine in Spain. So really, corporate objectives and focus was elsewhere. So the mine remained very uncapitalized. No money was put into upgrading the infrastructure, really understanding the controls of the deposit or options beyond what was known. And after a hostile battle with First Quantum, Inmet was taken over. First Quantum, the global copper company, shut down the mine. And it was kind of put on care and maintenance and started to be reclaimed. At that time, you had a strong Canadian dollar, you had a weak gold price. And my team and I were looking for unloved opportunities. Kind of jump forward today, we were able to acquire from First Quantum at a good price about 2 million ounces of historic resource, which through focused work over the last 4 years has grown to well over 8 million ounces and beyond that. We're now engineering what could be one of the largest producing gold mines in Canada.
Well, Justin, another thing that came along with the acquisition for your team was all of the infrastructure in place. And so you highlight the brownfield advantage the company had really coming out of the gates. Would you walk through some of those infrastructure advantages that you have there at site?
Sure. I mean, I think it's even more prevalent today when we're looking at nothing but a powerful inflationary environment against new builds where CapExes are blowing out of control. You know, we've invested about $25 million over the last 4 years upgrading these to a state of production readiness. But we have 40 kilometers of production ready road off of the main highway, completely upgraded, 60 kilometers of power line. We get our power at 3.2 cents a kilowatt hour from Hydro-Quebec. It's hydroelectric. It's green. We have an active mining lease. We have a fully permitted 6.5 square kilometer tailings facility, 50 megawatt substation. We have a brand new camp in place, core logging office facilities. We pretty much have everything but the mill, which was dismantled. And I actually saw the old mill while it was in operation. I think it's best we build a new one anyway. But altogether, you're looking at between 350 and 400 million US in inherited and upgraded infrastructure, which in this environment should help to keep our capital exposure at the lower end.
Well, that's definitely a advantage that you have, that the company has, compared to a lot of other development projects that, as you point out, have to deal with the rising inflationary environment that we're seeing all companies face with. But let's get into the project here. You guys have an initial resource around 8 million ounces. Three of those are in the indicated category, 5 million in the inferred. But I know you've done quite a bit of drilling over the last couple of years, so that will be growing. But just walk us through the size and scope of the project. And just as a reminder to listeners, that you have both gold and copper in this project.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's very important. We put out our third resource upgrade about a year and a half ago. And it was 5 million ounces indicated, 3 million ounces equivalent inferred. We had increased the resource by over 350% from inception, I guess. 8.1 million ounces equivalent across all categories. We have since drilled another 150,000 meters. We've had massive success at a new discovery called the Southwest, located southwest of the main mine, and expanding the known assets to 87 and J that we have. We've now drilled almost 250,000 meters, which is the second largest drill program in Quebec behind our friends at Osisko. We'll have a new resource out in mid-year, June, July, which will accompany our pre-feasibility. And I think you'll see a number of things. You'll see our inaugural reserve, and you'll also see continuation of the growth trend that we've been showing. Troilus is a very, very substantial asset and getting bigger.
Well, just along those lines, you know, you have a PEA out that will be upgraded when you put out this pre-feasibility study. But initially, what kind of production guidance would a project of this size be, let's say, on an annual basis? And, you know, what would you anticipate the mine life to be just on where it is now? Obviously, it's growing, but where was it near the PEA when you put it out?
Yeah, the PEA was a year and a half ago. We were looking at a 22-year mine life where the first 14 years was going to be via open pit, producing about 250,000 ounces a year, and then going underground after that. We've had such success with the drill bit that we're not going to focus on the underground at all. We're going to be presenting to the market a 20 to 25 year open pit mine producing 35,000 tons a day, or mining 35,000 tons a day plus waste, which will get you about 250,000 ounces of gold a year over that period, backed by reserve. And probably as important today is also the copper. You know, we're going to produce, in addition to about 250,000 ounces of gold, we're going to be producing between 17 and 22 million pounds of copper. We'll be the largest copper producer in Quebec, and 450 copper is going to have an incredibly important revenue stream for us. In addition, we'll produce about 500,000 ounces of silver a year.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have such a strong copper credit or even the silver credit in the mix along with the gold. And at that production profile, Justin, I would imagine that has probably raised a few eyebrows and has a few of the big boys looking at the project as well, just with that kind of a production profile and that kind of a long mine life, which is only growing with all the drilling you've done. Now, another area of interest is that Southwest zone that you highlighted. I know you've done a lot of drilling the last 2 years. You did over 100,000 meters of drilling just last year as a company, and a lot of it was focused on that Southwest zone. I believe the plan is to maybe be able to start the operations there now. Maybe you could walk us through that, because there's higher grade at surface and you've liked what you've been seeing with the drill bit. So walk us through how the Southwest zone could play an important role in kicking things off at the project.
Yeah, it's really become, I would call it a gravity shift to our project. At the time of our PA, we had just discovered the Southwest. We had drilled for 1 month, 8,000 meters, to find 600,000 ounces at surface. The strike length was about 400 meters by 200 meters wide. And we said, hey, that's a pretty good project or target. The ore comes right to surface. There's essentially no strip. It looks to be about 20% higher grade than the main deposit. Jump forward to today. We've drilled over 100,000 meters at the Southwest alone. We have defined a strike length in excess of 1.8 kilometers by 650 meters wide. To put that into context, that's a larger footprint than the 87 and J zones, where 2 million ounces was produced historically. So from our perspective, the Southwest was 6 months of production in our PA. Is likely going to be 4 to 6 years in our pre-feas. It's going to help us avoid big pushbacks at the main pit. It's going to give us a slightly higher grade profile, which provides flexibility to us. Low strip, add surface, better ore early, expedites your payback. The Southwest remains wide open. We have 5 drills turning there right now.
Excellent. Yeah, that's a great asset to have growing for the company to be front loaded towards the higher grade, the better economics, and it sounds like it's still open for expansion. Let's talk a little bit about that, about what the work program is for 2022, Justin. I mean, after a massive drill program last year, one of the largest in the industry, what's on tap for this year, and what's the key news investors should be looking out for and key milestones as we round out the year?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question. It's funny, we talk about annual work programs. We just never stopped. It just kind of keeps going. Five drills turning, I don't think you're going to see that drop at all. Southwest Drilling is actually done next week. That'll all be put into our pre-feasibility. We'll then be moving those drills into the gap zone. Gap zone sits right between the Southwest and 87. We kind of have this 2.5-3 kilometer no man's land that's never been explored. Geophysically, geochemically looks great. And we believe that there could be continuity over the district scale or the mine scale for this deposit, which could be have major impact in the future. We've just completed a full pilot plant bulk testing for all of the zones, 10,000 kilos of samples, which show 92% copper recovery, 91% gold, and 88 silver, better than what we put in our PEA. Gives a lot of confidence to the market. That's all going to culminate all this drilling we've done into the pre-feasibility and new resource statement, which will come June, July, middle of the year. This is a major event for us as we've already started the federal permitting process and we'll be kicking off the provincial. We continue to explore regionally, having a huge land package and a lot of the work completed at the end of last year will be put into the market. So it's going to be continued technical advancements and a lot of new drilling that the market hasn't seen from us.
Well, we'll definitely keep following along as those drill results come out and as some of the development milestones hit the news wires. But one thing that people will probably question right away is, who is the team behind Troilus? You know, do you have the capacity to bring this project into development? So maybe walk us through, Justin, your background and just any other people on the board or the team that you think are instructive for investors to know about.
Sure. I'm a geologist by training. Don't hold that against me. A couple degrees there, an MBA in Chicago. And then I was one of the early founders of Sprott Securities that became Cormark Securities. And I ran mining research there for a number of years till I took over global mining at the National Bank of Canada and then went on to run Sullivan Gold as we developed the Shahuindo deposit in Peru, which is ultimately sold to Rio Alto and then to Tahoe. So Shahuindo is a great asset. Our team, we built a team to build a mine, not a team to promote a company. Richard Harrison has been the head of projects at Malartic for the last 7 years. He ran the Odyssey project, which is a $1.7 billion expansion of Malartic. Before that, he rebuilt Goldex for Agnico and Ketla for Agnico. He's a known Quebecois mine builder, and he's come to Troilus to build this mine. He works with Ian Pritchard on our technical services. Ian ran Amec Gold in the engineering. Blake Highlands runs our exploration group and has put a team together that's discovered almost 7 million ounces in 3 years. So he's done it before and he's doing a great job. And I think we're knocking on 10. Jacqueline LaRue has permitted 5 mines in Quebec and has an incredibly good handle on the bureaucracy of permitting and what's required. So we have a great handle there. And Daniel Bergeron runs the logistics and has had a huge impact in the building of a number of mines in Quebec. So we have a team in place to build and operate a mine. Our board, Jamie Horvat, has run some of the largest gold funds in the world. Pierre Pettigrew has been a minister of foreign affairs to 3 prime ministers. John Hutigerio is the Pierre Lassan chair in mining and engineering at the U of T. And Eric Lamontagne has had a great career with Agnico, building Meladina Meadowbank. He's currently building the Greenstone project for Equinox and Orion. And he was the former superintendent at Troilus. So he brought that historic knowledge of the asset to us. So yeah, we have a lot of firepower, both at the managerial side and at the board.
Fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like you have a well-rounded team, a well-experienced team, and a team that's done it before. So that's something that we always like to see. Let's also just shift over as we kind of wrap up here to the financials of the company. I know you just did a $42.5 million bought deal. And you also, in addition to that, had $11.5 million raised from the province of Quebec. So walk us through what the cash position of the company is, what the budget for this year's work is, and how things are sitting for the company financially.
Sure. You know, we're about $165, $170 million market cap. Those raises were about 7 months ago. So cash is sitting at about $32 million. We're in good shape, really good shape. The budget for this year is about $25 million, and that delivers us through the pre-feasibility project description, a lot of the permitting, and just about completion of our feasibility, which will be kind of January of next year. We have 60% of our company is institutionally owned, of which Quebec Inc., as I call them, that's the case, Investissement Quebec, FTQ, Sidex, Esther James B., all the Quebec government sanctioned pension funds are large shareholders in us and have a well-known track record of backing their investments to cash flow. Management insiders own about 8% of the company. We've bought all the stock, and then we're about 30% retail.
Well, it sounds like the majority of the shares are in very strong hands, and then you do have about one third in retail. So you've got some of the speculative interest from investors that would be listening to our show also in the mix. But nice to see the strong institutional holding, nice to see the strong insider holding, and also always impressive to see, you know, larger pension funds and larger government funds backing a project, because those are the strong hands you want to get it into production. Any other thing you want to mention before we wrap up, Justin, to the audience? How do you want people to take away the overall big picture view of Troilus as we wrap up?
Thanks again for today. I would say just taking Troilus as an asset by itself might be a bit of a mistake. You know, I'm talking to you about a 20-year plus open pit producing, you know, 250,000 ounces of gold a year, and that should be enough. But we've put a new model on this old deposit. We've had huge success, and that's driven us to acquire over 1,400 square kilometers of an underloved, misunderstood belt that everybody has forgotten about for the last 50 years in the Fortet Evans Belt, which is essentially the same rocks as the Abitibi, which has produced almost 300 million ounces of gold. We've had huge regional success in a very short period of time. And I believe that Troilus is not just an asset, it's a belt. And I believe that it's generational in scale. So there's a lot more to come from Troilus.
Well, Justin, we absolutely appreciate your time and for spending a few minutes with us here at the KE Report to overview the company, the project, the team, and the general lay of the land. We'll keep following along as more news comes out, so keep us posted as that hits the news wires, and looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it.